Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, everybody, it's Party Friday. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden. I must admit, I like the revised pictures in our intro much better, much improved. But this is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True straight up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. So today we're going to be talking about the speech, some illegal sex trafficking that the federal government is paying to fly the sex traffickers around.
Yay!
Attacking Dave Williams again. Rhino people attacking Dave Williams. What's the figure? And this is
in the Denver Post.
In the Denver Post.
As was predicted by Rhino Watch, they'd finished with all their pathetic attack on him through the Philanthrope, so the Uniparty will go to the Denver Post.
Yeah, and if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom, feel free to unmute yourself or raise your hand or just kind of chime in. But wanted to talk about the speech last night. We watched it. And actually, we'll get to Katie Britt, because I think we're the only two people in America who liked her. But we can get you guys to weigh in on that, too. But Chuck, and we've got tons of sound from Tucker Carlson and everybody. What do you think?
I thought it was an hour and 20 minutes of get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Just an old guy screaming at people. And it was pathetic. It was wonderful. I mean, the Republicans couldn't be better because they don't want Joe out of the race. So yeah. He couldn't fall over and all that. But he just... You know, they always accuse the Republicans of being white, angry old men, right? And so who leads the Democratic Party? But the oldest, angriest old white man you could possibly have. Starts off with Ukraine as if that is the
underlying
issue to everything, that we must have Ukraine. We must give them $60 billion. And unfortunately, Mike Johnson's nodding his head in the background. Why we've got to give $60 billion more, because most of it comes back here. They're right, but not in wages, but in
bribes and donations. Yeah,
and everything else.
Yes.
So and we don't have the thing, but he attacks the Supreme Court saying, women are mighty and they'll eat you all up or whatever. I mean, it's just a haranguing, unpleasant, divisive, you know, they say it was a campaign speech. Well, it wasn't a very effective campaign speech if it was one.
This was, you know, and then everything he said, it was like, you can't do that. Like, he's going to solve the Middle East crisis by putting a pier in Gaza so that they can
have Miss Gaza contest there.
Or instead
of, yeah, like they used to, the old boardwalk of, they used to have Atlantic City, they can move to Gaza.
Forget the Red Sea and the Houthis there. But, and then he said the economy is actually good. It's candy companies that are making smaller Snicker bars. That's a problem. I mean, he just said all this stuff but here's what I think.
What do you think?
I think the speech was not aimed at anyone but his base. I think the Democrat Party, Biden is so underwater. He is so unpopular among his base even. I mean, he was late to the whole thing because they had all the Hamas protesters stopping him, right? So they had to get them out of the
peace.
So he had to deal with that. And I think that they realized before they could even begin to reach out to other people, they need to shore up the base. And I think that was he could have given that speech 50 years ago, right? We're going to give you free this, free that,
He wouldn't have given that speech 50 years ago. He used to have charm to him. The topic.
Right.
But I disagree. There's no one sitting back there. Somebody talked about the Clinton one. The guy said, okay, we got to reach out and try to get some people off the middle. There's no one saying that. There's just, all they have are doctrinaire left wingers.
That's what I'm saying. And that's who he was talking to.
Well, that's who they are. Right. That's who the White House is filled with. It's not filled with strategists going, hey, how do we get some more people in the middle? I mean, his Union Station speech where he looked like Mussolini or the devil, where he was screaming at MAGA Republicans, same speech. I mean, it's just.
And this is a speech he's going to give over and over again. Here's some comments. Biden sounded like Mr. Wilson on Dennis the Menace from Jacob. And we're going to get to the RNC. Yeah, Laura Trump on her first day collected $100,000 in contributions to the RNC. No, 100 million. 100.
100.
How many? There's a period there. Okay, 100,000.
100,000, that ain't much.
Leo said, less Snickers is in a Snicker bar, which makes no sense. From Charlene, I think he was on something, jacked up, vegetative state for 2 years, and last night he actually had a blood pressure. Wonder if he was wearing a diaper. Yes to all of the above, Charlene. I think that, it didn't. And the Democrats, I think, again, all he had to do was not fall over dead and they would be happy with it.
Well, no, he was coherent. I mean, mumbled and bumbled a few times, but it was just a scream. I mean, just so unpleasant and so pathetic.
And here's the thing. I think that he still now has months and months to go of going back to being the old Joe Biden. They can't keep him on those kind of drugs the whole time.
Sure,
right? Well, I mean, every time they try to.
What they're going to do is they're going to do the Harry Truman thing where he went across the country and he'd come in the back of the caboose car. And so they'll just have some stand up puppet, you know, some wax figure that'll come out. And I'll say, well, that's a weird gait. You go, no, that's his gait.
That's Joe. That's how he walks
now.
And
give him hell, Joe. And then.
You know, one thing
on to the next stop.
One thing I thought was good, almost always, the Democrats are the masters at this, right? Where all of a sudden everything is a threat to democracy. Everything is like whatever. They coin a phrase and then everyone parrots it. Last night, the Republicans did that with the angry old man yelling at people to get off of his lawn.
Because that's what he was.
Well, it was. Ted Cruz said it. Marco Rubio said it.
It was exactly.
Well, we'll play a little bit of it. Thomas, if we could please, and Tucker Carlson, as usual, did a great, you know, I think analysis of it. He had Victor Davis Hanson on too. If we could please play Tucker number one here. Here he's talking about the overall tone.
You know, you think of Joe Biden as a doddering old man, a guy who can't remember when his son died or when he served as vice president. And of course, that's exactly who he is, and it's on display every day. But Joe Biden is also a cruel and vicious demagogue, a man who has no problem at all denouncing his fellow Americans or putting his political opponents in prison, as he has done. And that was all on display tonight. That was possibly the darkest, most un-American speech ever given by an American president. In fact, it wasn't a speech. It was a rant, entirely lacking in decency or generosity to his fellow Americans.
And now you, Chuck, have pointed this out. I mean, a lot of people who are sort of like State of the Union watchers, right, said that this was bizarre in that it was just an angry campaign speech, right? There was no, and he just made stuff up in it. But you made the point, too, that this was not at all. I mean, clearly it was a decision that they just were going to do this, but
I don't think it's a decision because I just think they're all, you know, radical leftists that control the White House and give the speeches. It couldn't have been any darker than the Union Station speech that he gave. That's who his speechwriters are. There's nobody out there kind of going, okay, let's try to tackle, you know, because the State of the Union, you can have somebody that everybody has to cheer for sitting next to the First Lady or someone else, the Vice President, and you force the other side to get up and cheer. So it makes it. He didn't get in a single pause line. I mean, I think there was one on I don't know, aid to Gaza or something. But I mean, it was pathetic. It was. I mean, you would not do this if you were strategically thinking. You can give a speech like this at the Democratic convention, but for the State of the Union, he convinced no one who was not already a Bidenite to want to have this great old man.
And that's what you're talking about. They just don't care. This is from Jacob. Biden did finish a speech without a real hitch. The Democrats can now keep him back in the basement. Exactly. Leo says Babylon Bee had a skit in the State of the Union address being sponsored by Depends. That's probably true. From Charlene, they had him jacked up pretty good. Why didn't Fox get a shot at the huge teleprompter? I think in the State of the Union address, I'm not sure. I think that it's probably a camera that's frankly controlled by the White House, and it's a feed that everybody plugs into. I don't think everybody gets once the speech starts, you can do cutaways or things like that. But typically, that's what I think. I don't think they had the option to do that. Yeah, and here's just to remind people, Thomas, I'm going to go out of order here and play the Biden freezes bite to remind people.
Before the Adderall.
This is before. This is what he looked like before last night. So Thomas, if we could please play the Biden freezes soundbite.
I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
What's your message for November Tuesday voters? Everyone, Super Tuesday. Sam, do you have a message for voters? Thanks. Come on.
Goodbye. I'm gonna get out. I mean, he's just sitting there. He doesn't have any idea. He's just. It's like, it was like a Mitch McConnell moment, right? He's just like,
well, Mitch was totally frozen. This isn't Dilly Roden. He's technically alive.
But he's not really. She's just kind of sitting there. He's not leaving. He doesn't know what to do. So that's a Joe Biden. We're going to go back to seeing that Joe Biden. One other, I think one of the key things was when Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was trying to say her name, Laken Riley, of course, Biden has not reached out to her family, right? Hasn't.
Oh, God.
And today his mother said it was just pathetic. And so he did go off script here, but he shouldn't have, because then he managed to make everybody angry with this, right? So if we could please play the Biden, Laken Riley soundbite.
Be a winner. Not really. Laken Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand.
Okay, so that was bizarre. So number one, he clearly was prepared for the moment. I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah.
Right? They knew that might come up. So he had the button there, but then he pronounced the name wrong.
Well, that's the name of the football coach for, I think it's USC.
USC, exactly.
And so that guy's gotten all kinds of calls. The president called you out.
Called you out. I mean, so that was terrible that he mispronounced it, right? And so all the Republicans and everybody is mad. But in the meantime, he said illegal. I mean, the libs are melting down over that. He called them an illegal. I mean, one of the squad was saying a human being cannot be illegal. And then he said,
how many legals, meaning legal immigrants, are killing people? Oh, we shouldn't let them in either.
Right. How many thousands are being killed by legals? That was
legal,
like weird.
Legal immigrants. I don't know. How many are?
But that was a bad moment. And he didn't really address the border. He tried to turn it around and then blame the Republicans for it. And they have that bizarre conspiracy theory that Donald Trump is secretly manipulating Congress to make the border crisis worse,
so
he can run on it, as if it weren't bad enough, right? As if Donald Trump
10 million, you know, he's trying to make it 20 million.
Right. I mean, it's just so ludicrous. Charlene, we had such low expectations. Anything short of him falling or blanking out made him look better than expected. Republicans and union should have shouted together, shut it down, and then let's go Trump during the applause breaks. Or how about let's go Brandon, you know, kind of thing. That's right. Well, and again, people were saying, and I agree with this, it was just a very dark speech. It wasn't aimed at unifying the country. He was just making stuff up. What does he say? He's going to give everybody some kind of tax, $400 a month
for a house,
so we can go buy a house. Now, we're not going to change our economic policies. So the mortgage rates, which are what, under 3% under Trump, are now 7% and over. Didn't address fixing that. He's just going to give everybody $400 or something.
A month,
right?
Yay!
Yeah.
Yay!
Not clear where he's going to get the money for that.
I mean,
and no one even believes that anymore, right? And then he talks about, the whole reason the economy is bad is because Snickers is putting less Snickers.
No, the economy is good. It's just the rip-off corporations.
People are going,
cheating you out of a full Snickers.
Out of a full Snickers bar. Well, so then Victor Davis Hanson was on with Tucker Carlson, and he had, as usual, some great stuff. Thomas, if we could play the Victor number one soundbite.
Well, I've never seen in general an angrier speech. I mean, I think the left's happy because he didn't stumble, but he only is incoherent when he's full of venom and he's angry. Get off my... This was Phantom of the Opera number two, and I've never seen a president interact and yell at the opposition. And, you know, Tucker, he attacked the Supreme Court, and he was having a dialogue, an invective against the Supreme Court justices in the chamber. And so he's a very angry guy, and you were absolutely right, he's a demagogue. And then it was lie under lie.
Most famous Broadwalk.
Exactly. The whole thing was bizarre on that.
No, that's a great
And then
idea.
I think the final soundbite on this from Victor Davis Hanson too, and I agree with him here. He doesn't think it's going to sway anybody. And see what you guys think. So if we could please play Victor, Victor number two.
I think it got people. I don't think it's going to go over. I think it was get a mean old man saying, "Get off my grass, and I'm going to give you free stuff and print more money, and then tell you that it's the rich that are the problem." I think the nadir, though, Tucker, was not just the Marjorie Taylor Greene exchange, but when he said that he's getting tired of people not paying their income taxes, when his son is now facing several felony counts for tax avoidance, and he's got a lot of cash that he's never reported. And he, as soon as he's out of office, if there's any justice in the world, he'll face the same exposure as Hunter. So I know that the left will say, well, he didn't stumble, and he was vigorous, and he was muscular, but it was a muscularity and a vigor that was frightening, because it was exactly like he did in that other speech about the semi-fascist and ultra-MAGA.
Yes.
And the idea that that buffoonish display in the rotunda for a few minutes was a insurrection and is the greatest threat to America since the Civil War. I think he forgot.
I mean, he forgot all kinds of things, right? He forgot all kinds of things. So yeah, it was just kind of silly. And then I think it was kind of funny, the off mic, he was caught saying, I think it was to Michael Bennett from Colorado, he's going to have a come to Jesus meeting with Netanyahu.
The Jewish head of
that. Yeah, which is funny, because I'm not sure that Netanyahu would look at the come to Jesus meeting.
The thing is the same thing. As you think.
This is from Charlene. Democrats put on a show during Trump's State of the Union, wearing all white, tearing up the speech, etc. Republicans should have booed in unison when he lied. I know. Leo, Biden said he wanted tutors for all students so they could read by third grade, etc. Then right afterwards said he wanted to give teachers a raise. Why would you need tutors if the students and teachers are doing their job? Maybe they need to give them all Snickers.
They don't have enough Snickers. There's a Snicker deficiency. Their energy is down, so they can't really learn.
I mean, it was just, to me, it was just nonsensical. It was just this Democrat platitude after platitude after platitude. It's like, oh yeah, and we'll do that too. And
then
oh
he
yeah.
turned to the Republicans and kind of, you know, shake his fist and
yeah.
And you don't like that, you bastards. I'm gonna have you all, you insurrectionists.
I think, Chuck, and you probably said one of the wisest things is, oh, in a way, it was so bad that was good for Republicans, but it was good enough to keep him in the race,
yes,
which is also
yes.
good for Republicans,
yes.
because
yes.
I don't think anything, and call in or raise your hand or put your comment in if you disagree, I don't think there was anything in that speech that made somebody think, oh, you know, I wasn't sure who I was going to vote,
you know,
for, but now
that Trump guy's mean, but now this is a real humanitarian. This is I'd be happy to have my kids go on that guy's lawn.
That's right. And this from Charlene. Yes, Leo, we need tutors, just, you know, just more money for indoctrination. That's absolutely true.
We need tranny and tutors.
And now let's go. So we were watching the Katie Britt, I'd be curious to see what all of you guys think, the Katie Britt response. And while we're watching it, and I'm sitting there thinking, I was touched by it. I thought mm-hmm. it was good. And you were saying this is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark Smiley, who works with us, who's a Republican, but he's surrounded by Democrats. He's typing, oh my God, this is the worst I've ever seen. This is a disaster. And then looking at the Twitter response, there were a lot of people who did not like her at all. Now I have my theories on what was going on, but what do you think?
Here's what it is. Joe Biden gave this, you know, insane, off the wall, hideous thing. Politico, MSNBC, New York, everybody, fiery speech, you know, he really vigorous, you know, all they did was praise it.
Yeah. He was feisty.
Feisty and fiery. He's just wonderful. Universally, that's the thing. And of course, he sucked. So she comes on and really is pretty good. It's more feminine than that, but it's a very feminine kind of one. And they attack it at once, right? I mean, the Democrats do, because, you know, she's a woman and they are the one who represent women,
right?
Not this nice, bright, good looking woman. No. And then the Republicans just chime in along. Yeah, it sucked. Even if it sucked, yeah. Those morons ought to learn something and cheered her on.
Yes.
Said great speech,
good
you know.
Good point.
Yay for Republican women. We love Republican women.
Joy, that's an excellent point. Republicans, are you listening out there? Now, granted, yeah. We're true straight up, but there were some times.
Well, you can be true straight up while being deceivious. I mean.
clearly to me that the speech was not aimed at Wasn't even really aimed at me. It was aimed at, I think, white suburban women. That was aimed at I'm probably too old to be in their demographic. I'm like,
you're still a white suburban.
White suburban mom, but
they weren't aimed at me. Well, who the hell do you think they aimed it for?
Probably a little bit younger.
Oh, the younger demo. Okay.
But I think that that's who it was aimed at. And I think you're right. I think when you juxtapose it with Biden, she came across as concerned. Now, people were saying, oh, she was acting. I don't know. I will tell you this.
What do you think political speeches are?
Right. And it's very... There's a fine line between being so polished, right, that all you come across is as a polished politician. And then there's that on the other hand, you have somebody who's completely incompetent and it's painful to watch because they're so awful. And then there's that middle ground where you try to be authentic. And I can just tell you, it is extremely hard to be given a lengthy speech like that when you're sitting and reading off a teleprompter and come across as authentic. That's hard to do. And I think, so I'm not going to falter on that, all these people, and I'm sure there'll be Saturday Night Live skits because they were like,
well, but the Republicans always fall for it.
Right.
They never figure it out. They never figure out the Democrats are all after, so they ought to support her. No, they jump on the wagon and confirm that it's really a male dominated party. I mean, they are so dumb.
Right.
So dumb.
Right. Okay. So here's from Barney. I hate the line kitchen table issues or the little guy. I didn't like her. She's very pretty, but, and then Jacob says, anyone who can say it's not true that I campaigned to get Trump while playing her campaigning to get Trump on YouTube. Trump is going to Georgia for a rally. Wish he would come to Colorado to help out the pro-MAGA candidates here. I know Dave's working on it. I think the primary helped. Results helped.
Yeah.
And then Leo says, do you think Biden can connect with suburban cougars? That I might be. then Jacob, my neighbor has a white suburban. I don't know cars can vote. A white suburban woman. Barney says to everybody, Marjorie Taylor Greene would have dropped the F-bomb. And then Leo says, Julie, we know you have a teleprompter. You know what I think would have been brilliant? This is just me.
Just saying.
Nobody called me. They should have had Trump give the rebuttal. I think they should have had Trump give the rebuttal. I think that would have been fun. One other aside before we kind of leave this topic is I was trying to follow, and I don't know, I'm just tossing this out there. I was trying to follow, Trump was kind of live, not tweeting, but on Truth Social, right? He was commenting on Truth Social, and it went down right when Joe Biden walked in the room.
Yes, yes.
Now, it would come up and down. I don't know. I mean, I know sometimes we lag on the show here. I don't know if it was just so many people were trying to watch Trump. Is that what it was? And Truth Social wasn't geared up to handle it. Kind of like what happened when Ron DeSantis went on with Twitter with Elon Musk, right? And then that fell through. But still, I just find it interesting. If Julie is a suburban cougar, this is from Charlene. Wait, I'm a Toyota cougar. I'm a Subaru cougar. Let's see. Okay. Oh, where the server's overloaded, it sounded like. Yes. Okay. So I want to switch. And feel free, if you want to comment there, we can go back to that. But I wanted to talk about one of the reasons why no one buys Joe Biden's excuse that all the problems on the border are Trump's fault, because they've seen what's happening. And I think it went from being not a particularly important topic to most people when Trump ran the first time to being maybe the most important topic now.
Well,
right?
10 million people invading the country.
And it's and you know, like those folks, we keep saying the Twitter account Do Better Denver, they show stuff every day, and they're not trying to target illegals. They're just showing, right? As we said, the hotels where the illegals are staying at, courtesy of Denver, they had in 100 days 4,000 police calls for service. I mean, that's going to take up almost the entire resources of those precincts, right? I mean, they're going to have to just set up a substation right? And just kind of leave it there.
Put the bars on the windows.
You know, the murder of Lake and Riley. And here's the thing, and was it Victor Davis Hanson or somebody pointed this out, that, you know, Biden says, well, how many people are murdered by people who are here legally? The point is that if that guy, that illegal, had not been here, Lake and Riley would be alive. Right. I mean, he didn't belong here. So if the federal government had done its job, she would be alive. Other people would be alive. I mean, it's the crime is astonishing. And the federal government is helping. The sheriff in Polk County, a guy by the name of Grady Judd, held a news conference earlier this week talking about it was a sex trafficking sting that they were doing. Polk County, Florida is kind of between Tampa and Orlando, kind of in the middle. Right. They called that, I thought this was a good name, March Sadness, right? And they made 228 arrests. They rescued 13 sex trafficking victims. But he was talking about how...
Prostitutes?
Well, no. I mean, if you're being held as an indentured servant and forced to perform sex on guys coming in and out of the hotel room constantly and threatened with death if you don't cooperate, that's not really prostitution, right? Okay. And they did differentiate. They did arrest some people for prostitution and then some people. So they did differentiate. And there is a difference, right? But he was talking about how stunning it was to see the number of illegal aliens who were involved. And he said what they discovered in this was these weren't just random illegal aliens. This was an organized illegal alien sex trafficking ring that was based in New York. Where? But was operating all over the place. So if we could please play the sheriff soundbite number one, Thomas.
And what this is, and I want everybody to see it clearly, federal policy drives illegal immigrant crime and victimization. And that's the focus, other than our victims of human trafficking. Listen, folks, I want to introduce you to Andres Gill, okay? Here's this guy. He's also on this board, but get a look at him for a second. He came down here from New York with three females. All of them are in the country illegally. Did you hear what I said? They're all here illegally. He's the one that comes with them to drive them. These ladies are all controlled by a human trafficker. We think their human trafficker is a female. She sets up their appointments. She puts their ads online. She tells them where to go. And by the way, on Friday, the victims of human trafficking, and we've grayed them out, three of them that are here illegally from Venezuela, three of them have to pay her $3,000 a piece on Friday, or else they're threatened. So they're not free. They're really indentured, and they're quote unquote paying off their debt.
I mean, I love this guy. He's just so calm about it, right? So this is an illegal sex trafficking ring that is run by the cartels, I'm sure, is what's going on there. And then the worst part, though, is the sheriff says, so this ring is based in New York, but it operates all over. They were in Polk County, Florida, right, when this was happening. And he said, now, how are these people getting around? Well, guess what? Your tax dollars, our tax dollars are paying for it, right? What they said, and there was a story earlier that talked about some 320,000 folks have been flown by the Biden administration, illegals, around the country, right?
So I thought that they were flown to the country, that they didn't even have to go by the borders.
Well, that's some of that, but this is also some of the other stuff too. They have free air travel is, I guess, what I'm talking about. So this is the sheriff on the second soundbite talks about the fact that the federal government is flying these people around for their sex trafficking. If we could please play the sheriff number two.
They said that when they came into the country illegally, DHS gave them a form, an ID, paperwork, that allows them to fly for free. You know, Southwest would let your bags fly free. Well, the federal government will let your illegal immigrants fly free. And they operate out of New York. And they were working up there, and the New York authorities said, hey, if you don't have identification, you can't work in our sex trade up here. You know, we don't allow sex trade here at all, but New York will allow you to do some stuff if you got the proper authority. So they say they make a lot of money. They're addicted to it. These ladies are going to give you more details. They tell us that they fly to major metro centers for free on the federal government, where they set up their appointments for sex all around the country. Did you hear what I said? Listen, folks, if they don't pay $3,000 apiece on Friday, they're in trouble. The human trafficker sets up the deal. Hey, this deal is just outside of Tampa. They say, they show this ID, this card, this paper, they fly for free down here. Then they fly back.
I mean, think of that, right? So the federal government, and you know, if they're giving these people, I mean, you know, they don't, the fact that they're sex traffickers, that's not specifically why they're doing it, but they're giving all of these illegal aliens, you know, free air travel.
Well, think about it. There have been, what, in the last 2 years, since Biden's in, 2.5, 3, 10 million people have crossed the border. The significant majority of those are military-age males.
Right.
So if you're in Venezuela, what do you think? Where do you think a business opportunity would be? I know Venezuelan prostitutes in the United States.
And there's free air travel.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're all over the country, so why not? I mean, it's, you know, 10, got 10 million guys, you know, you better get a few sex traffickers in there to keep them happy.
The sex—I mean, they the men who were arrested for this were from all walks of life: military, math teachers, you name it. But it isn't from Charlene. It's like the grapes of wrath. Forced labor and prostitution makes me sick. And are the churches participating as NGOs? You believe? But you bet they are, Charlene. But I mean, the churches who are getting a ton of money and the NGOs are the ones who are sending some of these people up. I mean, that's probably how the women got here and the guy got here, right? Good chance that some of them have been here before and have been deported, right? I mean, it's just, it's insanity. And the Biden administration doesn't care. And then Charlene says, well, the wheels are falling off a plane, so maybe they won't fly that much longer.
Well, as a practical matter, why aren't the, you know, all these worthless Republican senators screaming and yelling and everything else about it? You know, they're going to have a new race, and you got John Cornyn and Thune and Barossa. I mean, just what do they ever say?
Well,
money to the Ukrainians. I mean, that's it.
This is from Jacob. His Catholic Charities, one of the NGOs. I believe it is, Jacob. It's one of the biggest. Yes. And from Leo, the NGOs in Southern California are getting reimbursed by FEMA. There we go.
Yeah.
And maybe they could just combine it into one whole. You come here, you know, you get free health care, you get free education, you get free air travel.
You get to work as a sex worker.
You get to work as a sex worker. You don't have to pay taxes on that.
You get $400 a month for a house.
And you get $400 a month for a house. That's right. But hey, your point, though, is exactly the next sheriff soundbite that I wanted to play, the last and final one, where he basically says that it's intentional that they're not fixing this. If we could please play sheriff number 3.
Because they sit up there behind their gated communities and in Congress, and they play politics back and forth between the two parties while illegals are victimized, citizens are victimized, children are victimized. And you've got this goofy looking kid here who's making sure that they come up with $3,000 a week apiece, and he's here illegally. It's a mess, and it doesn't have to be.
And I think that's what nobody is buying anymore, and that's why Biden's in trouble, right?
He just doesn't have the authority. Congress has got to pass a bipartisan bill and get it going.
That's right. Oh, one thing, worthless. Elon Musk wants Rand Paul as majority leader. Yeah, Rand Paul is teasing us on Twitter today. He goes, I'm getting thousands of calls from people saying I should become the majority leader. Oh, and Charlene, I love this man. Who is he with? He is the sheriff. His name is Brady Judd of Polk County, Florida. Polk County is a pretty decent sized town, or county rather, between like here's Tampa, here's Orlando, here's like the East Coast, and it's kind of like right here. So it's kind of in the central part of Florida, between Tampa and Orlando. So this is the cartel. God knows why they went there, right? But here's the thing, you can bet. So if they're in Polk County, Florida, running an illegal alien cartel-backed sex trafficking ring, you got to imagine they're here in Denver. Right.
Wow, Westminster.
Right.
Why
Westminster.
Don't we have our Venezuelan prostitute people around here to service?
And,
service.
And,
the local guys here.
That's pretty smart to fly in and out because it makes it harder to arrest them, right?
Well,
And then they go back to New York. Just one other thing, this is an aside.
Just an aside.
So in New York, apparently they can't really do it in New York because to be a sex worker in New York, you need like ID.
You have to be in a union.
So does that somehow?
You have to be unionized.
It's like you have to be, I don't know, that just seems like odd. I'm sorry, illegal alien prostitute. If you had an ID and could join our union, you could do your sex trafficking here. But since you can't, you're going to have to go to Florida. I don't know. Where it's completely illegal.
Yes.
I don't know. That just seemed like it.
Seems reasonable. I mean.
Exactly. Okay. Want to switch gears here again. So this was this morning, the main commentary in the Denver Post. Just so you know, so Thomas is doing that. We're lagging. Our video was lagging.
Okay.
So that's why. So thank you, Thomas, too, for keeping track. How can Dave Williams abuse the Republican Party? By a guest commentator. Now, Kelly Maher, she used to be years ago, like with Compass Colorado, she was for a long time, sort of a kind of the face of the conservative
She's a workhorse. She's a woman who's made a living, or at least made money for now a couple decades, just kind of doing whatever the establishment wants.
Right, and she had kind of stepped
she's
out.
She's a nice
of,
person, I mean, quite frankly.
Stepped out of the public eye. I think she had kids and stuff like that, but she came back in. Here's what she says. Over the past 2 months, I have watched Colorado GOP Chairman Dave Williams destroy what was left of the Colorado Republican Party.
Yeah, who left what?
Who was left after Chrissy Burton Brown and her cohorts took all the money. That's a good way to put it. I mean, he's raised more money than they did. I mean, it's insane. And then she goes on, and what she's complaining about is that Dave is essentially using the Colorado GOP email account he says, unapologetically attack his primary opponent for things he knows are untrue.
Untrue,
right. Here's the thing. He's not. What he's using the Republican Party emails and party to do is...
These are postcards.
Postcards, all right. Is to point out that Americans for Prosperity, Compass Colorado, Colorado Concern, all of these organizations that pretend that they are Republican grassroots are not, that they are all controlled and operated by open borders, rhino establishment, uniparty billionaire philanthropes. And they don't Dave pointing that out.
Concerned Colorado.
Not Concerned Colorado, but
they're
a different group of open borders, uniparty, establishment rhinos.
They're not controlled by philanthropes.
No. And actually, he's probably too rich to be on their board. But that's what they're fighting against. I mean, and it's crazy how they've gone all out. I mean, she just attacks this. And of course, I mean, Dave has been attacked constantly for these postcards in the Anschutz-owned newspaper, gazettes, and the online things. And then she said, Dave Williams does not represent me. He does not represent the values or principles of the GOP that I have supported my entire adult life. Oh, really? He just supported Donald Trump. I guess he supported closing the primary. I guess she's in favor. Well, of course they're in favor of that, right? And then he says, I will no longer stand idly by, leaving Williams unchallenged to use GOP resources to practice distortion and extortion. Well, number one, where's the extortion, right?
Where's the Venezuelan prostitute ring?
There's no Venezuelan prostitute ring. No. She doesn't say what she's going to do. But what this is, again, Dave Williams is an effective grassroots populist leader. This is an attack on all of us, I think, just like from Trump, right? Just like the people who hate Trump, Nikki Haley, all of those people, it was attack on us. This is an attack on us. They want to do everything they can to silence us, right? And to hurt Dave Williams. And because they want Jeff Crank, the Americans for Prosperity, anti-Trump, pro-Nikki Haley candidate in CD5 to win. What this is really they're doing what they're accusing Dave Williams of doing. They're using the news media to essentially run campaign ads for Jeff Crank. Right. And attack ads on Dave Williams. And only they don't have to report it because they're just using the power of the media. And then they get upset when Dave turns around and does the same thing. I mean, what do you make of all that?
Well, Rhino Watch predicted it. They said, OK, they've gotten through all the Anschutz one. Now the Uniparty is going to move over to the Post. And Kelly Maher is, just she does what she's told. And I say she's a nice person. But, I have somebody who wants to talk.
I just want to say, it's like these little minions that they won't even admit that they're, friends with the Koch brothers or Americans for Prosperity. They, it's kind of like they avoid, evade that question when you say, are you affiliated or is that your alliance? Is that, are those your peeps? You know, is Americans for Prosperity, are those the people you hang with? And they're like, oh, you know, I can't even believe you would bring that up. You know, I'm just writing this out of my goodness of my heart to save the party. And so anyway, but see what, so I feel like everybody should call that out and say Charles Koch's name and say Anschutz's names and say Americans for Prosperity is sponsored by Charles Koch. And how many little publications are funded by Anschutz? I can't get a handle on it, but I think
you got all of them. Here in Colorado, you've got the Colorado Gazette, you've got the Denver Gazette, you've got Colorado Politics, you have Complete Colorado. He has the Washington Examiner in Washington.
And then the Rocky Mountain Voice, is that another one?
Well, the Rocky Mountain Voice is from Heidi Gnall. And here's what I would say. The Rocky Mountain Voice hates Lauren Boebert, hates Dave Williams. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, and she went, I mean, we showed, you know, when we were first exposing her, right? She, her point, remember, Charlene, she needs to get the grassroots roaming in the right direction.
Oh, exactly. And so they, and she put a picture of herself on a, on one of the posts, Rocky Mountain Voice, that says grassroots conservatives, who never mentions the word MAGA on that Twitter feed.
No.
They never mention Trump or MAGA. So how grassroots conservatives, patriots,
American Prosperity calls itself the largest grassroots organization in America.
And they call themselves conservative and they call themselves libertarian, but they're not libertarian or conservative or grassroots.
Somebody said it's Americans for Koch Prosperity. You know,
exactly.
Wherever the Koch brothers.
That's what I called it. And you know, in Arkansas, they have that as well. And all they do is feed people. And the, and people go to those events and they get fed. They spend so much money on feeding those people. And then they go out and knock on a few doors and they call themselves a huge grassroots organization. But, you know, here's the, here's what gives me hope. You know, like he put all that millions into Nikki Haley. And didn't he put some into DeSantis' campaign first? And they still could not get their candidate through.
No.
And so the same way with Walmart and Asa Hutchinson, they were behind him and he wound up getting 3% in Arkansas, his home state. So, I mean, if you, and that was acknowledged publicly that those big billionaires were behind those candidates and that turned people off. And all we have to do now is get the word out. They don't want the word getting out that Koch brothers and Anschutz are behind these Crank brothers or Crank, whatever his name, Jeff Crank. They don't want that word getting out, you know. And then Crank comes out and says, oh, no, I'm for Trump. I'm for Trump.
Oh,
they
Trump,
want
to hold Trump. Trump.
We played the soundbite on the show where the Colorado Republican Party found, right? And that showed Jeff Crank saying, you know, that's courageous that Americans for Prosperity is backing Nikki Haley, right? Now he tries to say, and so, and here's the thing. I mean, it's like, hey, if you want to vote for Jeff Crank and Americans for Prosperity and against the grassroots populist,
and against
Trump
America,
movement,
and against birth, kids and children and anything decent, go ahead.
But you should know what you're
saying. They're distancing themselves from America for Prosperity because they know people don't like billionaire Kochs.
Right.
And,
right.
And they're distancing themselves, but they're still pushing candidates that are affiliated with Americans for Prosperity.
And then if you dare, as like Dave Williams does, or and we have done, if you dare to speak up about it, right, then boom, they slam you down.
Back if you dare to speak up about it, they like, oh, no, we're not affiliated with them. But, and, you know, I mean, I that's what they're afraid of. So we just need to speak more who they are affiliated with and let them deny it all day long. We can just ask them, are you affiliated with these people?
I'm not.
Phil Anschutz. What did she say in here about Phil Anschutz? This is great because she's been on Phil Anschutz, you know,
Chuck looks it up, Charlene, you know, back to the Rocky Mountain Voice and Heidi Gnall, the stories that they post on that website are all from Colorado Politics, you know, Complete Colorado. So it's all, you know, it's the same thing. And then the lobby is another one. And that was funded by Roger Hudson, who's a rhino and does all of that.
It's the most flagrant misuse of his position. He was attacking even longtime stalwart conservative donor Phil Anschutz in one of his newspapers, the Gazette. The same Gazette that was incidentally one of the only major newspapers endorsed Donald Trump against Joe Biden in 2020. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Phil is all on board. Failed.
Yeah.
Well, you showed us there.
I got a request from Dave Williams, you know, for money for his campaign, and that is the one person I am going to support wholeheartedly. Right. Yeah, and Lauren Boebert, because if we can't get those two MAGA Trump people in Congress, they're going to roll Trump, just they did before, roll them harder. Okay.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Charlene. Thanks. All right. Thank you. And this is from Jacob. Heard a great line today, Walter, from Jeff Dunham's mannequin said he unplugged his friend from life support so he could recharge his cell phone. Yeah. Sometimes that happens. Okay. Want to talk about, they changing of the guard at the RNC as expected. Michael Whatley, Trump's pick.
Well, finally, Trump. After, because the RNC has been controlled by the establishment forever. I mean, forever.
Right.
And this is the first time Trump has taken it over, which is great.
Right. And here's another thing, too, just sort of one a final thing to talk about. So we had Lori Sane on the show Wednesday, because Lori Sane is proposing what seems to be a common sense thing, given that Colorado is a sanctuary city, given what's going on in Denver, and Denver is openly sending the illegals that are overwhelming Denver to other neighboring cities, right? Lakewood is insane, and I think just bought a hotel that they're going to. They're saying it's for homeless people.
Newcomers.
Homeless newcomers. Yeah. So that's what they're doing. They're trying to push the problem. So Douglas County, El Paso County, all the counties down to the south said, we are not a sanctuary county. If you come here, we're not going to spend money. Lori Sane tried to do the same thing in Weld County, which you'd think that would be a no-brainer, right? Why would, if you're a red Weld County person, would you want to say, oh yeah, we want to spend our taxpayer dollars on illegal immigrants, right? That would be like a no-brainer, but nope. Couldn't do it. She was like, she was voted down. Her resolution, all it was saying was, Weld, we are affirming that Weld County is not a sanctuary county, and we are affirming that we will not use county taxpayer dollars to pay for illegal aliens, right? That's what's so hard about that. They didn't want to do that in Weld County. Well, Lori Sane didn't shut up. She's been talking about it, and they're having public hearings. So what does Kevin Ross, the head of the county commissioners, do in Weld County? Cancels public hearings, or public speaking.
Public comment.
They're still having public hearings, but there is no longer...
We don't need to hear from you, our constituents.
There is no longer any public comment at the public hearings.
Yes.
Because the stupid pesky citizens, the stupid public, commenting and did not get the fact that he didn't want to hear their comments. I mean, in a way, you can't make that up.
No.
You know?
No, I love mine.
So that's good. Oh, from Jacob, Lakewood is full of the squeegee people. I love that, Jacob. That's what we should call them, the squeegee people.
Squeegee people.
You know, we have a friend who was talking about, he has to drive down and he goes through to get to work, Colorado and Color Boulevard and Colfax, right? And he says he goes a different way now because he said all the squeegee people, first they squirt dirty water on your windshield anyway, he said it's disgusting, and then all the traffic is a mess. So he says he now has to take a different traffic route because
they're gonna hunt them down.
Well, and I'm saying this too, here's what's going on with the squeegee people, guys. They're not making enough money to make it worth their while to do that. That's just a way so they can all congregate there, and they're dealing drugs. I guarantee you that's what's going on there.
They're doing something positive for the community.
Well, there we go. I mean, they're doing that. So if you want to buy drugs, you have to exchange money with the guy that looks innocent, right? And if you're waiting to be your turn to be the squeegee guy, well, you're carrying the drugs, right? I mean, if you can know when your Uber car is coming, right? The text says, you know, Julie red Subaru kind of thing, right? Then I come up my red Subaru, then you give me the drugs. I go up to Julie's Subaru, squirt the water on it. She gives me money. I give her the drugs. That's what the squeegee people are
about. Excellent.
Exactly.
They're doing double duty.
And maybe if you want to go to the sex trafficking ring, you can.
Yes, they'll tell you where the local Venezuelan sex trafficking hideout is. You can have some fun there, too.
Charlene says, will Park Hill open their homes? No. And then Jacob, have you noticed that the bulk of the commercials for the network evening news as well as local news are all pharmaceuticals? Yes.
Pfizer owns everything.
Right.
Pfizer is, hey, get this monococcal pneumonia. You've never heard of that before, but get it because, you haven't had enough vaccines. I mean,
And I think we've talked about this before. What they're really doing, someone theorized, and I think this is true, is they're not really actually trying to sell us the drugs.
No, they control the advertising flow into the, so if the station is thinking, well, maybe we should do something how
COVID vaccines kill people.
Kill people. Ah, no.
That's right. And yep, you're right. That's why you'll never see anything negative reported on the pharmaceuticals. Exactly. Exactly.
Really, as the marketing manager for the Glendale Cherokee Connell, you need to go see Pfizer.
You need to go see pharmaceuticals.
Talk about getting a full page, and we won't say
anything. Ads, we won't say anything.
And sponsor our program.
Yeah, yeah. They still won't put us back on YouTube.
Well, maybe Pfizer says we have
to. You know, we could be bought.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if anybody would bother, come on, son. Come on, pharmaceuticals. We're here for you. We're here for you.
Okay, guys, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thank you to everyone on Zoom. Great comments today. Great
you
comments.
You guys are wonderful. And thanks for the calls and the things. And, of course, our great
BBS. Thomas,
group.
Who saves us more than we can tell. So we see you on Monday. I think we're going to try to talk to John St. Augustine. I don't know if you saw earlier this week, we had talked before about the debacle at the Colorado Bureau of Investigation and DNA testing. The state had to allocate millions of dollars because their head DNA tester screwed things up so badly that they're going to have to refile and challenge and retry all of these cases. Big cases too. Well, they have now launched a criminal investigation into that person, suggesting this wasn't just something nefarious was going on. So we're going to get John St. Augustine.
Somehow the fact that they're bringing a criminal investigation is probably indication of that they're up to something. You know, I mean, you don't believe anybody anymore. You don't go, okay, our wonderful law enforcement are getting her. It's some crooked deal.
We'll have John St. Augustine to explain it. But anyway, that is it for us, everyone. Have a great party Friday. We'll see you on Monday.
Take care.